Begin the current daf, Masech Tzchum daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. Begin 7 lines down by the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues with a similar halacha as from the previous daf, regarding that if a Kohen doesn't know what to do specifically regarding the Matnas Kohuna, he doesn't get it, which the Gemara had said actually that the halacha is not like that. Similarly, the Gemara brings that Amr Ababa, Amr Avhun, Amr Rav. It says, Chutin Shebelechi, literally the threads, referring to the veins that are in the jaw, they're asurim, they're forbidden because of blood that's in there. Now, b'chol kohen she'ni yudei litlan, now the jaw is one of the matnas kohen that goes to the kohen. And any kohen that doesn't know how to remove it, say ein yesh l'matanis, so you don't give him the matnas kohen because then he's going to violate that iser. Which the Gemara says, v'lohi, but that's not true. Because ibetavia, if he's going to roast it, so meidiv daivi, so then it's going to drip out, and he's not going to be consuming the blood. And v'ilik deir, and if he's going to be cooking it, so idemechtech lehu, umalech lehu, then if he's going to cut it and salt it, so also meidiv daivi, it's also going to drip out the blood, and therefore he won't be violating it, and therefore it's not a problem in giving the kohen, who doesn't specifically know how to remove them, because he'll be able to drip out the blood anyway from getting that lechi. Thing on these halachas of this parak of our Mishnah regarding the Matnas Kohuna, Amar Rava says, Badiklan Rav Yisuf. Rav Yisuf tested us to see if we'll know what to respond. Now, specifically Rava, who is a Kayin, he said, Hai Kahana Dechatav Masnasa. Regarding a Kayin who grabs away the Matnas Kohuna from a child who's on the way delivering the Zroel Lechayam and the Keber to the Kahanim, and then a different Kayin grabs it away, do we say chavuvi kamechav mitzvah, that he's showing an endearment to the mitzvah and he's doing an appropriate thing, so we're showing, whoa, I want to fulfill this mitzvah? Or maybe that's a degradation, showing how you're a chatva and you're someone that grabs. And we answered it to him from the pasuk, which says v'nasa, and that it says regarding the matnas kohuna that the one who's slaughtering the animal should give those parts to the kayin, which says that v'leishitl ma'atzmoy, that he shouldn't take from himself, saying that the owner should give it, and the kohen shouldn't take it from himself, and then if someone's grabbing it and he's taking it by himself, that's not appropriate. Now, Amar Abaye, he says, Mireish hava chatifna masnasa. He says, originally, I used to grab the matnas kohuna. I mean, the chaviv kumachaviv the mitzvah. He says, I thought that it would show an endearment to the mitzvah by grabbing it, showing, well, this is so much for me as a kohen to go get the matnas kohuna. But once I heard this drusha that we just mentioned, the nasan that says that it should be given, but he shouldn't take it by himself. So now I didn't grab anymore. Now, but meimer amri habili, I would tell them, with an open mouth, I would say, give it to me because I thought that would show an endearment. I want to fulfill the mitzvah, not neskuna. But v'kivin the shemana lo detani. But once I learned this other halacha, which it says in the braisa, which there was actually a talking about in the pasuk regarding the disgrace of the sons of Shmuel, where it says, Vayitu achriya betza, that they turn towards their lust for money. Now, Reb Meir Aimi says, it's not that they would steal. Rather, B'nai Shmuel, it was regarding the sons of Shmuel, that Chelkem, their portion, as Levim, for example, like Maaser Rishon, Shalu Befim, they would ask openly for that. And you see that that's considered like people that are lustful for money. So, Meimen Namid Lamina says, I stopped asking for it. But V'yavali Shekelna, but if people would give me the Matnas Kohuna, I would take it. But kibin the shaman la detanya. But then once I learned another halacha, which says in the braisa, hatznu meishchenes yedehem, that the discreet ones, the modest ones, they withdrew their hands from taking from the portions of which was given out of the lechem upon them. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Yumin daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, from when Shimon HaTzadik passed away, so there was a curse in the lechem upon them that it didn't satiate anymore. So the tznuim, who anyway, it's not going to fulfill what they needed, so they withdrew their hands. But v'hagargonim chalkim, but the gluttons, they would go and take their portions. So mishkol namalisha kilnas, I even stopped taking like them, like the discreet ones, who they even stopped taking. Labar memal yom dekipuri, except for erev yom kippur, lachzuki nafshoi bekahani, that once a year I would take to establish myself as a kain, that people shouldn't forget that I'm a kain, because they're going to say, hey, he never takes matnas kohuna, so therefore once a year he would take it on erev yom kippur. Now, on that the Gemara asks, but since the only reason why he took it was that it shouldn't be forgotten that he's a kain, so the malifras yadeh, let him go ahead and duchen and say birchas kahanim all year round, and then he could establish himself as a kain. Why does he have to take the matnas kohuna? Says the Gemara, no, that wasn't an option, because anse le idne, that the times that he established for his students as a Rebbe perturbed him that he wasn't able to go ahead and go and to the duchen to do nesiyas kapayim, because at that time when the shul was davening, that the tzibur was davening, he was busy with the times that he had set for his students, and therefore he couldn't do that, and therefore just to establish himself as a kohen, once he would take the matnas kohuna and every Yom Kippur. Amar Rav Yosef continues on these halachas. He says, Haikahana de Isli Tzuvim Rabbanan Bishvavuse. Regarding a kohen that has a Talmudic scholar in his neighborhood, and for that Talmudic scholar, it's a difficult financial situation. Now, the kohen wants to benefit that Talmud Chacham, so lizakile matnasa, he could give him his portions of the matnas kahuna that he usually receives as Reim Nechayim and the Keva from the people of the city. That Talmud Chacham could get from the people of the city because of the kohen, and that Talmud Chacham will eat it. And even if it didn't first go to the hands of the kohen, he could merit him his rights, and it will go straight to the Talmud Chacham. But that's specifically by makirei kohuna ulevia, by a kohen who's well known in the city, and most of the people of the city, they like him, and they give him the matnas kohuna. It's regarding that type of a kohen that it's like almost like automatically his, and he could then go ahead and merit his portions to that other person, to that Talmud Chacham, even though it didn't come to his hands. But regular kohen never came to him to be able to give those rights to the Talmud Chacham. Now, regarding this halacha of Rav Yosef, the Gemara brings the following story. Rav Avirav Safra, iklu lebei mar yoichano bereid Rav Chana bar Ada. Probably some say it was lebei, it was to the house of mar yoichano bereid Rav Chana bar Bizna. And Avad lehu igla til, so they made for these two Talmud Chachamim a third born calf. Now, Amalei, which is a fatty, juicy type of meat. Amalei Rabba Lashame. So Rabba said to the attendant of the homeowner, who was a kohen, and the homeowner would give the matnas kuna of every animal slaughtered to his attendant. So he told to the attendant, Zachila matnasa, give me permission to take your matnas kuhuna to eat them, because the tongue is given with the jaw to the kahanim. And Rabba said, Debeina lamecha lishna bachardla, I want to eat tongue in mustard, which was a distinguished dish, as the Gemara says about Metziah Pevav Mebeis, that you know he wanted to feed them to the three malachim, the three tongues in mustard. That's considered something a very chash of a meichel. Now, although Rav himself was a kohen, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Chesem and Aleph, that he was from the Bnei Eli who were kahanim, as the Gemara Bechares Chav Zayin Manaf also says, the Rav would nullify the truma of chutzlords in a majority and he would eat in his days of tuma. However, he didn't want to take from his own right, because, like we said before, the pasuk says, v'nasan, that it should be given, and he shouldn't take it from himself. He also didn't want to say, give it to me, like we said in the Braisa, because that was the disgrace of the sons of Shmuel, when they asked it by themselves. So therefore, he took it not as a kohen, but rather as a non-kohen, by the kohen who usually get it, to give it to him. And that, although it didn't go yet to the hands of the attendant, but Rav relied on the halacha of Rav Yosef that said, it doesn't have to go to him, who it usually goes to, could then merit it and it goes straight to some other person. So Zachile, so he merited to Rava. So Rava achel, he ate it. Rav Safra lo'echel, Rav Safra did not eat that tongue because it didn't go first to the hands of the attendant. Now, Akriu l'Rav Safra b'chalma, it was recited to Rav Safra in his dream, a pasuk of Mishlei. Ma'da beged, the worn out garment, b'yayim kara, on a cold day, is not worth anything. And it's like chaymitz al nasr, it's like vinegar on alum, which only ruins it. And so too is v'shar bashir ma'alevra, so too is someone who sings a song on a bad heart, which means to say like someone who says divrei Torah, words of Torah, to someone who doesn't understand them. So asli kamed Rav Yosef. So he came in from Rav Yosef, and normally he said to Rav Yosef, dilma mishum de'avri ashmaita demar, maybe it's because I violated the teaching of the master, meaning of Rav Yosef, that I didn't rely on your teaching, that you said it's permitted for a Talmud Chacham to receive it, the matnas kuna, even though it didn't go first to the hands of the kohen. And here I didn't rely on that, I didn't eat it because it didn't go first to the kohen. And that's why Akron Hachi, that's why this pasuk was recited to me in my dream. So Amalei Rav Yosef said to him, no. Ki amrian no, when did I say my teaching? That's be'acher. That's with someone else, a foreigner, someone that type of a person that the kohen is unrelated, who's not submissive to the person he's giving to, that's where I said the teaching. But Shama, but in this case where the kohen was the attendant, was the waiter of the balabais, malkarche mezaki, that's forcibly that he would merit it to a other b'chashab like Rabba who's coming to the house of the homeowner. And therefore, I didn't say over there that the halacha would be that it would go direct. Moreover, when did I say that he can merit his gifts to someone else, even though it didn't come to his hands first? That's lamando actually. That's for someone that it's not possible that the recipient is someone that's impoverished and going through difficult financial times, like the halacha was said. But him, Rava, efshulei, him it's possible, he could eat other things, and he wasn't going through a difficult time. And therefore, for two reasons, mahalacha didn't apply to the situation that you were in. So then, ve'elo. So then, the question is: so that since Rav Safar didn't violate the teaching of Rav Yosef, because that heter doesn't apply for two reasons in that situation. So my tam akronachi. So then, why did they recite this pasuk for him in his dream as if he had done something wrong? It says the Gemara klape Rava. It was in regards to Rava. In other words, it was on Rava who he didn't know to understand the reasoning of Rav Yosef. That's why they told Rav Safar this pasuk. So the Gemara says, well, karen l'Rava. So let them tell this message to Rava, not to Rav Safar. He did good and not what Rava. So the Gemara, Rava Nasav Hava. Rava was in rebuke from heaven, which Rashi says he heard that the interpretation meant because he had spoken inappropriately towards heaven. As the Gemara in Tainus brings the Chavtesim Abayz, that he had asked for rain unnecessarily because of the honor of the mother of King Shabur. And the Gemara says over there that his father appeared to him in a dream and says, someone do such a thing, you know, in front of heaven, something that's not so appropriate? He says, change your bed. And he changed his bed, and tomorrow he found that his bed was pierced with knives, which the angels of destruction tried to kill him that night. Therefore we see he was in rebuke. And Rashi says that, no, the rebuke was because of this story, because he had acted inappropriate in that halacha, so therefore they told it to Rav Safar, but really wasn't for him. He actually acted appropriately. It was for Rava, who wasn't appropriate to get that message because he was in a state of rebuke. Now, the Gemara asks, okay, but that was the message in the dream. But Amalei Abayi Rav Dimi says, Upashti the Krebbe Maik said, what's the simple translation of that pasuk that's talking about like a worn-out garment in a cold day, or like vinegar on alum? That's how someone who sings the words on a bad heart. So Amalei says, that's B'shein L'tama She'en Hag. That's regarding someone who teaches to an inappropriate student. That's the song of Taira on a bad heart. Because the Amar Vidim Rav, it says, Kol HaShein L'tama She'en Hag, whoever teaches Taira to an inappropriate student, Neifel B'Gehenim, he falls into Gehenim, into the purgatory. Shanel, like it says in Pasuk in Iyev, it says, Kol Chayshech Taman L'Tzvunav, all the darkness is concealed for those in hiding. Tachleyu Eish Le'Nupach, a fire that doesn't need fanning is going to consume him, which that refers to the fires of Gehenim, because Yira Sarid Ba'alai, a bad remnant is in his tent. Now, Ve'ein Sarid Al-Tamachachem, what bad remnant are we talking about? A remnant refers to a Talmudic scholar, which is a bad student. And that's the person who's going to have the fires of Gehenim. Shenem, like it says in Pasuk in Yael, it says, with Sri Dimash Hashem Kari and the remnants which Hashem called out, you see that the Talmud Chacham who Hashem calls out is called Sarid, and therefore we see that the Pasuk is referring to someone who teaches an inappropriate student, that he gets a punishment of Gehenim. Now, Amrab Zeru Merav, he says, Kol HaShoyin L'Talmud She'en HaHagin, he says, whoever teaches to an inappropriate student, Kizarik Evan L'Markailis, like you're throwing a stone to the Avodah Zarah of Markailis, which that's actually the way it's worshipped, as Gemara says in Avodah Zarah of Memtesim Abayz. Shenemak says in Pasuk in Mishlei, says, Kitzrar Evan B'Margema, like a pebble of a stone in a sling, Kain Naisen L'Ksil Kavit, so too is someone who gives a fool honor. Now, as some texts have added on, what does it mean, honor? Vein Kavit El Taira. Honor refers to giving the fool who's an inappropriate student the words of Torah. Shlomo, like it says in the Pasuk, Kavit Chacham Yin Chavu, like it says in Mishlei, that honor the wise, the Talmid Chacham, they inherit. U'tamim Yin Chavu Tayv, and the whole, those who learn Torah, they inherit the good. And that, Amar B'Chacham B'Chanina, Kala Oysa Tayv, L'misha Eni Yaida, whoever does a favor for someone who doesn't know it, Kilo Shanema, that's like the Pasuk says, Kitzra Evin B'Gaimer, where it says, Uksib, it says the Pasuk in Mishlei, Le'Nava Lik Sultanik, it's not appropriate for a fool to have the pleasure, and therefore it's not appropriate to teach a fool, meaning a Tamashe and a Hagen, the words of Torah, which is covet. Now the Gemara continues, explain the halacha of a Mishnah, that we said a Kayin is not Chayiv in the Matnas Kuhuna. And we said, moreover, a Meshtatav Iman, whoever partners with a Kayin and a non-Jew, Tzarech Lirshem, they're also exempt, but you have to go ahead and make a sign to show that why you're not giving Matnas Kuhuna, because you're not a total loan. It's not only from the Am, it's also from someone that's not considered the people, which is either a Kayin or a non-Jew. Now that is the Gemara of Afila Imo Evik Achavim. Does someone have to make a mark on this to make it known that it's not purely owned by a Yisrael, that even if he's partnered with a non-Jew, he has to make this Rishon? But Verminu, that seems to be contradicted from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Amishtatif Im Kayin Tzarech Lishon. Someone who partners with a Kayin, although he's exempt, he has to make a sign. But Vamishtatif Imo Evik Achavim, if someone partners with a non-Jew, or if he's selling Upsulia Magdashim, he's selling carbonists that became invalidated, which had developed a blemish. Then they were redeemed, and then they're slaughtered and they're sold. Those types of meats are exempt from the Matnas Kuhuna, as we said in the Mishnah, because regarding Psula Magdashim, the Torah compares them to Tzviva Ayil, which are wild animals, which are chayes, which are not chayes of Matnas Kuhuna. So regarding these two cases, Ein Tzarech Lirshem, he doesn't have to make a sign, as we're going to later explain. But one thing we see is that whoever partners with a non-Jew does not have to make a ration, which contradicts the halacha of our Mishnah. So the Gemara continues Amud Beis and says, Hachama Yiskinan, what are we talking about over here in the Brice that says whoever partners with a non-Jew does not have to make a ration? Is the Yosef Eiv Kachavim Amaschasim, is where the non-Jew is there in the store together with the butcher who's selling the meat. Where it's obvious that this non-Jew is a partner, and therefore there's no suspicion, and therefore you don't have to make a sign. Our Mishnah is talking about, he's not sitting over there, and therefore no one knows that it's not only owned by a Jew, and therefore he has to make a sign. But that is the Gemara, well then, the Kavasaga Bekayin. Then, parallel is, in the other case of the Brayis, regarding a Kayin, that it's also talking about the Yosef, that the Kayin is sitting, Amaschas in the store. So then, Amai Tzarech Lirshim. Then why did the Brayis say that, by the Kayin, you do have to make a sign, but there it's also obvious that the Kayin is a partner, because he's also there in the store. Rather, obviously, that even though the Kohen is there in the store, people wouldn't know that the Kohen is a partner, because the army, Bister Kazab, they're going to say, well, why is he hanging around the store? Because he wants to buy meat. Who's going to know that he's the seller? So, then the question is, okay, so then with the non-Jew too, army Bister Kazab, they're going to say, what do you mean he's in the store? Maybe he's here to buy meat. So, El Rather says, the Gemara, you're right. It's not talking about because the non-Jew is there in the store. Rather, the reason is because Hachamai Eskin, what are we talking about here in the Braise, is the Yosef Evi Kachavim Akas Pasa. It's because the non-Jew is there by the cash register. He's by the place where the butcher puts the money that he receives from the consumers. That's obviously that the non-Jew is a partner. Why is he there by the cash register where you put all the money? So then the Gemara asks, well, the Kavas Sagar B'Kayin. Then the similar parallel should be by the Kayin. The Yosef Akas Pasa, that he's sitting over the money. Why by the Kayin then you have to make a sign? It's obvious that he's a partner. Rather, it's because Amri, that those who see are going to say, no, he trusts him to watch the money, that it shouldn't be stolen from it. So not necessarily because he's a partner. So then you're back to the question. So non-Jews also, he trusted him just to watch the money, but not that he's a partner. You should still have to make a ration. So they're going to know, because ein emunah b'eiv kachavim, generally a Jew doesn't, not customary to trust a non-Jew, an eiv kachavim, with his money, and therefore, it's obvious that if he's there on the money, he must be a partner. In contrast to a kain, maybe he's just trusting whenever you need to make a ration. That's one answer. Ibai say, well, if you want, you could say that truthfully, the case is Toma like we mentioned before. The reason why is because the non-Jew is there in the store. And you're right, the case of the kain would also be that he's there in the store. But you can't compare. Because stam eva kachavim mifit pai. Generally, a non-Jew, he's going to be screaming the whole time, no, don't give it to him for this price, give it to him for that price. Everyone's going to know, why is this non-Jew screaming? Must be he's a partner in the butcher store. But a Kayan is modest, and he relies on the butcher, and not everybody knows that he's a partner. So even though he's there in the store, he's discreet, and therefore it's not going to be obvious by the Kayan, although it will be obvious by the non-Jew, and therefore you have to make a ration only by the Kayan. Now, Amamar, the Tana the Braisa said that the other halacha was, if someone's selling meat from a carbon that had become invalidated, which was then redeemed, then you could use it for chulin purposes, and then he's selling it, which you don't have to give matnas kuna from it, in tzarech lishum, you don't have to give a sign on it that it's obvious that why you're selling it without matnas kuna, you don't have to make a rish. Says the Gemara, amamuch chamilsa, obviously, because it's obvious that you're not selling exactly like regular chulin is, because or else you would have to make a rish. It must be inherent, and it's obvious, intrinsically, that this is not regular chulin meat. And that's why you don't have to take off matanas. Now, that is the Gemara, but vanan tzinam, but we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayos that actually you could sell it like regular meat. So what would make it obvious? The Mishnah says, Psuli amukdashim, regarding meat from a carbon that became invalidated, nimkar beitlis, it could be sold in the marketplace, v'nishchat mitlis, it could be slaughtered in the marketplace, v'nishkan belitri, it could be weighed with different weights, that we're treating it like a regular piece of meat. So how is it obvious, and why would you not have to make a ration? Says the Gemara, Tirgum ravada bra'ava kamedra papa, he interpreted that the case that we're talking about with Psuli amukdashim is specifically bo'isin hanim kar mitecha bais. You're right, we're talking about those Psuli amukdashim that are only sold in the person's house, which refers to the bechir, the firstborn animal, and the maisa behema, that they became invalidated. That's what the Mishnah teaches, that although generally psulim mikdashim could be sold out in the open in the marketplace, two exceptions are the bechir and maiser, because there the benefit goes to the homeowner, the benefit of the money doesn't come back to hekdesh, because the pasuk regarding them says leisifta v'leisigol, you're not allowed to redeem them, which is that there's no monetary sanctity that's going to hekdesh. And therefore, they didn't permit a person for his own personal benefit to disgrace the meat that at one point was a carbon to sell it in the marketplace like a regular chulin. Rather, he has to sell it in his home. Now, although that's going to cause him a loss, that he's not going to get so much business because it's not out in the marketplace. Now, therefore, since he's selling from his home, it's obvious that this is not regular chulin meat, and that's why we don't need a roshim. But you're right, regular psulim mekdashim, where there, the benefit of the redemption money, because the person has to redeem it, and then that goes to Hekdesh, if you're not going to allow the person to sell in the marketplace, so when they're redeeming it from Hekdesh, people are not going to want to spend money because there's going to be a loss. Therefore, that's going to be a consequential loss to Hekdesh. Therefore, they permitted them to sell in the marketplace, and since that's being sold like regular chulin meat, you're right, those types of psulim mekdashim actually would need a reishim, because it wouldn't be obvious that why this is not having matnas kuna taken off from them. Continuing on these halachas, Amar Rav Huna, he says, Shutif b'reish. So we're talking about the halacha of our Mishnah that if Kohanim are partners with Yisrael, that exempts the Yisrael from matnas kuna. But let's say he's only a partner in the head of the animal, and not in the rest of the animal. So says Rav Huna, Potim min alechi. So then the Yisrael is exempt from giving the matnas kuna of the jaw, which is part of the head, which the Kohen's a partner in. And Shutif b'yad, let's say he's a partner in the hand, so then Potim in Azrei, then he's exempt from giving the matnas kuna of the foreleg. Shutif b'nei ma'ayin, if let's say he's a partner in the innards, then Potim in the kevah, then he's exempt from giving the matnas kuna of the fourth stomach. Now, Chiba Rav, he says, no, Fila Shutif b'achas men, even if the Kohen's only partner in one of them, the head or the arm or the innards, Potim mekulin, so he's a partner in the animal, and that would exempt the Yisrael partner from all the other matnas kuna. However, in his interpretation, Meisibay, they ask from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hareshali b'kulei shalach. Kain says to the Yisrael, look, the head is mine, but the rest is all yours. And Nafil echeb imei b'resh, and even if the Kain only holds on to 1/100th of the head, Sampater, he's exempt from the matnas kuna. Let's say similarly, he says, Hayad shali b'kulei shalach. Look, the hand is mine, but the rest of the animal is yours. Or even if 1/100th of the hand, the Kohen or the non-Jew is only holding on to just a part of the arm, even if it's only 1/100th, so then the butcher is going to be exempt from giving the matnas kuna of the Zeraya. And we're talking about where the Kohen or the non-Jew is selling the animal to a Jewish butcher, but he's saying, I want to hold on to one part or 1/100th of that part. So too, if the Kohen or the non-Jew says to the Jewish butcher that's buying from the animal, he says, look, b'nei ma'ayin shali, the innards are mine, but v'kulei shalach, the rest is yours. And afil echad mimeim, and even if it's only 1/100th of the innards, pater, he's exempt for the matnas kuna. Now says the Gemara, my love, isn't it talking about, as we see from all the different cases, is pater min alechi, v'chai b'kulem. When he says, I want to hold on to the head, what is the Yisrael butcher exempt from? From the matnas kuna of the jaw, but he's obligated in all the other ones. Pater min azraya, v'chai b'kulem. When he's saying he's selling everything besides the hand, what is he exempt from? From the foreleg, but he's obligated in all the other ones. Patim in akev v'chay b'kulam. He's exempt from, in the third case, from the moa, but he's obligated in all the other ones. So the Gemara, no, we can answer for Chiya by Yosef, for Chiya by Rav, that patim b'kulam. No, and it says you exempt all the different cases, whichever one he picked that he's holding on to, it exempts the Yisrael from all the matnas kuna. But that is the Gemara, if that's the case, the malisni patim b'kulam. So why does the Braisa only say that he's exempt? It should have said explicitly, which would have told us clearly, he's exempt from all of them. V'ay Tanya, Morba says the Gemara, clearly the Braisa says that it actually only exempts him from the Lechi and not the other ones. As the Braisa says, Horesha liba kulei shalach, if the Kain seller says, the head is mine and the rest is yours, afil echem imei b'resh, even if it's only 1/100th of the head, patim in alechi v'chai b'kulon. So the Yisrael butcher is exempt from giving the man the skin of the jaw, but he's obligated in all the rest. Says the Gemara, Tiyufta, the Chiyah Barab, Tiyufta, so obviously it's a refutation of him, and what you're exempt from is only the part that he held on to and not the other ones. Now, Amrav Chizdi says that Hamasnita, the following brayse that we're going to bring, Ati'isei l'chiyah barav, is what misled chiyah barav for his erroneous interpretation. Because the time we learned the brayse, Eschem v'arba matnas kunahin, which we had referenced in the previous stop, there's 24 kohanic gifts that are given to the kohanim, v'kula nitnu la'aron levanav, and they're all given to Aaron and his sons, b'chlal uprat, with a general category and specifics, like it says in Parashas Korach, because of Korach's rebellion against Aaron, the Kohuna, so then they reinforce the Kohuna in Aaron and his sons. So it says, L'chol kodshe b'nei Yisrael l'chanasatim, for all the sanctified things of the Jewish people I gave to you. That's a general statement. And then it goes and specifies each one, which this should be for you from the Holy Holies, from the fire, it goes through the matnas Kohuna. So it's a klal and a prat. And a bris melech, and there's also the covenant of the salt, which it says there at the end of the pasuk, bris melech olam hu. It's a covenant, it's an internal covenant of the salt, which comes to tell you that just like the covenant of the salt doesn't stop, so to this bris with the kuna, the kohanim, will never stop. Which teaches us, kol mekayim, whoever fulfills these kohanic gifts, giving it to the kohanim, kilu kaim klal prat. It's as if he has fulfilled the klalim and pratim in the Torah and the bris melech and fulfilled the covenant of the salt which applies to karbanis. Whoever violates the halacha of the matnas kuna, kilo evra klal prat to bris melech, as if he has violated the klalim and pratim in the Torah and the covenant of the salt. Now, ve'eluhin, these are the 24. Esther ben mikdash, there's 10 of them that apply specifically, which are given only that the Kohen can eat it in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azar, in the courtyard. You have Arba B'Yerushalayim, 4 that are in Yerushalayim. The Esther B'Gvulim, and you have 10 that are in all the provinces of the Jewish people. And what are they? So Esther B'Mikdash, the 10 in the Beis HaMikdash is Chatas, the Kohen gets parts of the Karma Chatas, Chatas Eif, the bird Chatas, Ashem Vadai, when there's a definite Ashem obligation, Ashem Tali, when someone's not sure if he violated an Aveir, brings Ashem Tali. Again, the Kohen gets parts of these karbanas. V'zivchei shal mitzibur, which is the one shlam that's a karban tzibur, which is the kivsei atzeres, the lambs that come on Shavuos, which that's limited to the azara because it's kacha kacha, so you have to eat it in the courtyard. V'loik shemen shal mitzayra, the lug of oil that's brought by the mitzayra, whatever's left over from the matanis that have to be thrown in certain places in the avaida of his purification process, the rest is eaten by the kehanim, as the Gemara says in Menachis and Zvachim, where it says l'chol karbanim in Parashas Kairach, that includes the leg shemesh shel mitzayr, which is also called karban, because the pasuk says regarding it v'hikriv isim la'ashem es leg hashemen, so it uses the word karav regarding it, and the Parashas Kairach it says b'kodesh hakodeshim techlenu, you have to eat in the holiest of holies, meaning in the azara, which applies l'chol karban m'chol mechas m'chol chatas m'chol hashemen, and therefore that applies so too for the leg shemesh shel mitzayr, which is called karbanim, and b'shtei alechem, the two breads that are brought on Shavuos. V'lechem aponim, and the 12 showbreads that are on the shulchan that eat in every Shabbos. V'shir menachis, and the remnants of the flower offerings of every single individual when he brings a mincha. And the mincha sa'imer, the reason why the mincha, the barley offering of the aimer, is mentioned individually, because it's not like any other mincha, because it's the one mincha sibur that actually has a kaimitz taking of it and is eaten, which doesn't have a parallel in the cases of a tzibur, so if it's mentioned individually. That's the 10 matnas kuna that are eaten specifically in the Azar and the Beis HaMikdash. Then you have Arba B'Yerushalayim. You have 4 that are eaten and divided in the whole city of Yerushalayim. And they are HaBachayra, when you have an unblemished Bachayr, this is the lower level of Kachim Kalim, which can be eaten in Yerushalayim. V'Abikurim, you have the first fruits of the Shivas Aminim, which are only in Yerushalayim, like the Pasuk in Devarim Yud Beis, Lesucha Lecha B'Shecha, you can't eat it in your cities, it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, which the Gemara Makis David Zaymanov says, it says in that pasuk Betrumas Yedecha, which refers to Bikurim. Umurim min hataida, you have the elevated parts of a carbon taida, which are given to the Kayin, which is the chaz and the sheik, the breast and the thigh, and the 4 different types of breads, like the pasuk says in Mirka Zayin, says, V'hikrav mimen echad mekol carbon chumal Hashem l'kayin azarek, from each one of the 4 types of breads, you take off, which there's chalis, rekikim, revucha, and chametz, and you take one of each type, which is given to the Kayin. And you have that which is elevated, which is taken off, umi'el nazir, from the ram of the nazir, which is the zroi b'sheles, the cooked foreleg, and the chala and the rakik, which are 2 different types, as it says in Parashas Nasi, which are elevated and given to the kayin. The rest is the kachem kalam, also eaten by the bialim. But these 2, mur min ataida and from the el nazir, are considered as 1. And the reason is because they're similar, because both of them are separations for the kayin from kachem kalam, and that's why they're eaten in Yerushalayim. Now, similarly, the halacha applies to the chaz and sheik of all other shlams, are included in this category. So why do we pick specifically the karban taida? Is because it has other elevated parts with it, so we wanted to say that included, but it's all included in the category of shlamim, which we just picked the case of taida and el nazir. And you also have a'iris kachim. You have the hides of the karbanas, of the yayla, and karmachatas, and ashim, like the pasuk says, although everything is burnt, but the hides go to the kahanim. And teres kahanim also, they say that included in that is the hides of the Karma Chatas and the Karban Ash. Then you have the Esther B'Gvulim. You have 10 that are given to the Kohanim in all the cities that the Jewish people are, which are Truma, which is generally around 1/50th that's given from the produce to, from every produce to the Kohen. Betrumas Meiser, you have the Meiser that's given to the Levi, a tenth of that tenth is given to the Kohen. The challah, which is a portion of the dough that's baked, given to the kohen. Bereishis hageiz, whenever the shear wool, the wool is shorn, a part goes to the kohen. Umatanis, which is the topic of our perek, the foreleg and the jaws and the moa. Upinya ben, you have the redemption of the firstborn son, that the kohen gets 5 slum to be that it, the son is redeemed. Opinion Petachamar, and you have the redemption of the firstborn donkey, which is redeemed with a sheep, that goes to the Kayin. Vesteachuza, then you have an ancestral field, which a person inherited from his father, going back when in days of Yeshua ben Nun, which a person sanctified and he didn't redeem it, and the treasure is sold to someone else, in the year of Yovel, it comes back, and then it gets divided by the Kehanim of that Mishmer, of that day, that the year of Yovel falls, and like it says, it goes like Kayin, Tiachozas, it goes to the Kayin, he gets this. Vesteharamim, a field that a person said it should be Cherim, that goes to the Kehanim. And the Gezel Hager, you have when someone stole from a convert, the Pasuk in Parashat Nasi says, Ha'asham Amushav LaHashem, which Gezel Hager refers to if someone swore falsely to the Ger that didn't steal from him, and then he later on admitted after the Ger had passed away, as we said previously in Kafalam and Alfam and Alf, that Karen and the Chemish goes to the Kain. Now, says Rav Chizda, who, Chia Barav, Savar, he thought, Midikachashav Lahuf, and the fact that this Tana considers, Lematonis to the three gifts of Dizrael Chayim Akeba, Bechada, as if it's one gift, because if it was all considered three individual gifts, he wouldn't say there's 24 Matonis Kuna, he would say there's 26. But for the fact that he counts it as one, so obviously Chadaninu, obviously it's one. And whoever's obligated in one of them is obligated in all of them. And whoever's exempt from one of them is exempt from all of them. And therefore he said, if the Kain has a portion in the hand or the head or whichever one, that he's exempt from that, he's exempt from all. That says of Chizda v'Lahi, but that's not so, and that was his mistake. Atu mur mitayda ve'el nazar. Do you think the elevated parts from a karman tayda and from the ram and the nazar, the kachash of the kachada, that's also counted as one? Meshem dechada ninu. You think it's because it's really one? No, they're individual things. No relationship. If someone's bringing karman tayda and someone is bringing el nazar, that they're the same thing. Elikiv and the damin la dadi. It's just that because they're similar, which we said they're both kachem kalem and the parts being taken off from it, so chashav kachada, so they counted as one. So since they're similar, count that as one, but really they're separate, and even if one is exempt from one of them, he would still be obligated in the other two. Now, continuing on this theme of when the Kayin is selling to a Yisrael, see, and regarding that the exemption of the Yisrael, he boiled the following question. Regarding a Kayin that's selling to a butcher, he's selling the head before the animal is slaughtered. And he says, Haroi Shulcha, he says to the butcher, look, the head is yours, but v'kula shali mahu. But, I mean, that's the inverse of the previous case, which we said the rest of the animal is yours, the head is mine. Here he says, look, the head is yours, and the rest of the animal is mine. What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Bas chayuva aslina, do we go where the obligation is? V'chayuva gabi Yisraelhu. The obligation of the matnas kuna, of the jaw, is in the head. And the Yisrael is getting the head. And therefore, he would be obligated to give the matnas kuna of the lechi to the kayin. Maybe go after the primary animal. The primary animal is the bulk of it, and that's by the kain. And therefore, the soul would be exempt from giving the matnas kuna. Says the Gemara Tashma, it's being arrived from the following Bryce. And the Bryce says, regarding a non-Jew or a kain, that he gives over his sheep, that the shearing should be done by a Yisrael, by a regular Yisrael, which he made him an agent just to do the shearings on his sheep. So Pater, so he's exempt from giving the Rishis Hagez. Now, that's an obvious halacha, but it's just because, since we're mentioning regarding the Matnas Kahuna, that someone who slaughters for a Kohen Abba Kachavim, he's exempt, which, although that generally is incumbent upon the Tabach, we said, but since the owner is a Kohen Abba Kachavim, he's exempt. So therefore, we mentioned the same thing regarding Rishis Hagez, although that's an obvious halacha. But continues the Brais HaLekeach Gez Tzayin Yishol Abba Kachavim, if a Yisrael purchases the shearings of the wool of the non-Jew, even before it was shorn, Patim Rishis Hagez, still he's exempt from when he takes the shearings from giving the Matnas Kahuna of the Rishis Hagez to a Kain. And says the Brais of Bezechayme Bezrei Belchayme Bukeba, and this is astringently actually, that applies to the Matnas Kahuna of the foreleg, the jaw, and the maw, Yisim Rishis Hagez, more than the halacha of Rishis Hagez that we just said. Because someone who buys the Matnas Kahuna from a Kain, from a living animal, before the animal is slaughtered, but the rest of the animal belongs to the Kain, the Yisrael will be obligated in the Matnas Kahuna because the Kayin didn't have a share in it before it was slaughtered, and at the time of the slaughtering, it's in the portion of the Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Shema Mino, we could obviously infer from the fact that it says that this is a trinity that applies to Israel, Lechem, and the Keva, that obviously, Basachi Yuvazlin, we go in regarding to who has the obligatory parts, because the only thing the Yisrael here bought was the areas of the Matnas Kahuna, And the Brisa says that he's going to be obligated. Shmamina, obviously we can infer that it doesn't go based on who has the majority of the animal, but who has the matnas kahuna at the time of the slaughtering. And therefore in the case of where he tells him that you get the head, I get the rest of the animal, the Yisrael will be obligated to give the matnas kahuna of the head to the kayin after the animal is slaughtered.